Hey there, and welcome to this episode of The Walk. And I'm walking around in my backyard. I'm gathering the branches of these ivy bushes that I've been cutting down all morning. When I woke up, opened the curtain, I saw blue skies, sunshine. And since it's Monday, as I'm recording this, I gave myself permission to have a Samwise Gamgee morning working in the garden, because in a couple of weeks from now, there will be so much growth that it will be very hard to get rid of these prickly bushes. And I needed to get them out because they are starting to overgrow all the other plants and trees. And I promised myself that this year I would spend more time creating the garden that I have envisioned. I love the whole environment here. So I'm putting all the branches on one pile here. Later on, I'll probably have to cut them up in smaller pieces. But the entire region here is beautiful. We've got the forest very close. But I always envisioned that I wanted to create something that feels like the Shire. And this backyard is okay. It's nice. But it's a little bit straightforward. It's mostly grass and there is a hedge. But it loses all its leaves in the winter. And I'm trying to come up with a design that is a bit more organic, a bit more with curves and everything, and more flowers, different types of plants, maybe even a small vegetable garden. And I've learned that for big projects like this, what works for me the best is to cut it up in small projects, small side projects. And I knew that this was something I had wanted to do for a year now. Oh, wow, this is almost an entire tree. All right, let me just throw that on there. It's like things in my house as well. I still have a number of rooms that I want to improve, especially I want to create a better guest bedroom, and I want to turn my current bedroom, which is the smallest room of the house, into a Lego City room where I can have smaller tables, and I can put the modular buildings that I have on display. I could put the little lights in. And that's a big project. But I also know that if I don't start at one point, then it will never happen. In my previous rectory, in my previous parish, this was one of my major issues, that I always had plans like, oh, I wish I could do, you know, put this lamp up here or improve, maybe paint the walls. And I never got to it because it all felt so overwhelming. And I get task paralysis at one point, so I don't even begin. And I've discovered that one of the tricks that works for me is to start with something super simple, very small. Like, yes, the ultimate goal is to have a garden that looks much more like something you would see in the Shire, but it's a big project, so a very small task that is feasible on a day like today, it's the beginning of Holy Week, is to just spend a couple of hours in the backyard taking away all these prickly branches that prevent me even from walking in the back part of the garden, because it just hurts. And my hands are covered now in small wounds because of these prickly bushes. But I managed to get rid of almost, I would say, 90% of all the prickly branches. And if I keep pruning them in the months to come, then they won't take over the garden as they have clearly done in the past couple of years. And so it's funny, but just having had a morning in the sun working in the garden, and then I had lots of talks with people passing by, and they were wondering what I was doing, So it was also funny to connect with people that, of course, I would not talk to if I had been sitting at my desk or behind my computer. So just by virtue of being outside, I also get to know the people here in the neighborhood. And this gives me enough motivation to keep going. So I feel like I really accomplished something, even though it's basically just super simple gardening. But encouraged by the success of this morning session, I did some research on how to plant a new hedge, because this hedge that I currently have loses all its leaves at the first day of freezing temperature. So when the temperature drops below 0 Celsius, these hedges become completely barren. And that's unfortunate, because they do give the garden a sense of privacy. It makes it look more like an enclosed garden. You can tell, you hear the cars passing by on the side of the house. And so I can still see the cars going back and forth, and there's a lot of traffic there. And I wish I could have a hedge that stays green all winter long. And I know, of course, that is possible, because there are other houses here in the neighborhood that have different types of hedges. But obviously, you need to plant those. And it takes a couple of years for them to grow and to make sure that I don't see all that traffic anymore. So, of course, I can wait until the fall to plant them, but there are also types of hedges that you can still plant up until May. Wow, there's so many of these prickly branches. I can't believe I did all this morning. And so it's a nice project that keeps me dreaming of my ideal garden. And for a long time, I've also waited for other people to come to my rescue. Like, I would always think, well, I can't do this myself. I'm not a gardener. I don't have the skills. I don't have the equipment. I have no knowledge of hedges and plants and trees. And the thing is, if you combine that with a reluctance to ask other people for help, which is something that came with my education, the way I was raised as a child, asking for help was almost always seen as it was bothering other people. You had to do it yourself, and certainly not ask other people to work for you. That was not good. And then I would just get stuck. Because, yeah, I don't have all the knowledge, I don't have the equipment. But now I'm more in a stage of my life where I'm thinking, you know what, this can't be rocket science. I know plenty of people who do gardening. And if Samwise Gamgee can do it, then surely I'd be able to learn this. And so, just having the courage to start working in the garden and start doing things myself. And if I really need help, for instance, like some of these branches were so thick that I couldn't cut them myself, so I need someone with a saw, a motorized saw, and then of course I can ask that, but most of the other work will already be done, so it's only a very small favor to ask, which, you know, I'm sure that people like to help, even if I would ask a big favor. But for me, it's easier to ask for something small than to ask for, you know, this big amount of work in the garden. Anyway, this reminds me of a topic that I discussed with someone else this past weekend. And it was, you know, the whole difficulty that some people have to ask for help. Because it depends on how you were raised, but Sometimes we don't want to ask for help because we feel that we can't repay people. We can't do anything in return. And I told that person that one of the things that really helped me think about this in a different way is that, in fact, by asking help, you are already giving the other person something very precious. And that is, you offer the other person an occasion to help. And that is a source of happiness, of joy, of contentment. And this is true for ourselves as well. If someone comes to you, a good friend of you, asks, hey, I really could use some help. And of course, you will check your availability and you will assess whether or not you actually can help that person. But if you decide to help, then you do that because, not just because you feel that the other person is so lame and really needs help and is... No, you do this because you actually enjoy helping other people. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? So that's the gift when you ask someone else for help. Oh, wait. My earbuds are now stuck in the tree. Hold on. Let's put this one back in my ear. And so you offer someone the opportunity to be generous, and that in itself is a gift. And I like thinking about it that way. And that has been my experience now that I'm a little bit more... I feel more free to ask other people for help. I do see that they actually really enjoy helping out. This is true in the parish as well. You know, when... Most of our parishes here in the Netherlands are run by volunteers, and we often hesitate to ask for help because we think that people are so busy and we don't want to bother them. And the thing is, what you often see is that people that already are busy helping other people are usually the first ones to help even more, because they help other people because they like that. And so it's not a problem to ask them for some additional help. This is true also in marketing. It's something I've been learning now that I'm, of course, thinking about ways to grow my coaching activities. Is the people that are already in your community and already enjoy what you give them are the first people that might be interested in other things that you do as well, or other products or other services as well. And it's kind of the same mechanism. People enjoy what you do. Ow, 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 ow. It's so prickly. This is very fitting for Holy Week, thinking of the crown of thorns. You could make a lot of crowns with these thorns. I'm almost done, and then we'll go for a walk. What was I saying? At first I always thought that if I would, for instance, start these coaching activities, I need to build up a new community, because people that are following me are following me for the podcasts or for the YouTube videos. So, I need to find other people that actually need coaches or need coaching. And I think that's not exactly true. I think it's totally okay to ask my current audience if they are interested in receiving coaching or help. And I hope that... Ow! Ouch. I'm piercing my thumb here. I wouldn't be surprised that I'll find my first clients among my existing followers. And this brings me to one of the topics I would like to share with you today. And that is an idea that I had this morning while I was working in the garden about, you know, how can I amplify what I've started with the coaching how can I amplify that and combine it with the work that I already do? And this is because now that I'm coaching other people, it's funny how that works. You also think about the way you work yourself as well. So the first recipient of all this coaching advice is in fact not the coaching client, but it is the coach. And even though I am sharing, of course, obviously also a lot of my experience and things that I've done in the past, lessons learned, also the failures, the things that didn't work, because that is a very valuable source of knowledge and experience. But when I'm, especially after a coaching session, I always work on a short summary of what we talked about, and I summarize the advice that I give, and sometimes it's also suggestions for things that my clients can do. And very often, it's exactly what I want to do myself as well. And just by sharing it with someone else makes it clearer to me as well that this is something that that works and that I want to implement myself as well. To make it more specific, you know that I've been doing podcasting for millions of years, and that's of course always fun to do, but I've shared this with you as well. I have to be realistic. Podcasting itself, because it's such an overabundance of podcasts out there, it's much harder to stand out and to keep an audience interested for many, many years. And especially, and this is the hardest part of podcasting today, how do you find new listeners? In video on Last Branches, I promise, on TikTok and on YouTube, you have an algorithm that helps you to find an audience. And this is very different with podcasting. It's a much more of a static situation. People really have to hear about you or look for specific topics that they want to find podcasts about. But there's no algorithm that serves you suggestions. Maybe in Spotify that is the case. I'm actually not even sure, because I haven't invested much in looking at what Spotify does to podcasting. But most of the time, if you have an existing audience like I have, and I've had this audience for years, usually what I see is that audience, there's always a core audience that keeps listening, because I'm part of your life, and there is a bit of a community and a personal connection. Wow. This is quite a workout. But the grass is now completely cleared of branches. Okay, last thing and then let's go for a walk. There you go. Wow, that is a huge pile of leaves and branches. Whew. All right. I'm walking through this open space. And now let's go left. What was I saying? Discovery. Most of the audience that I used to have that listened to The Break has been, you know, people just fall off the radar, and I have this myself as well. I'm subscribed to a lot of podcasts, but I don't have the time to listen to each and every episode. And so I'll pick and choose based on the title of the episode, or sometimes I'll be reminded through, for instance, an email newsletter that, hey, I just posted a new episode, so I go and check that out. The thing is, nowadays with it's funny, I see prickly plants here near the cemetery, and immediately I was like, okay, I need to cut these down. Oh wait, that's not my garden. A lot of the podcast, if you don't listen to all the episodes, it will stop downloading them. Apple has introduced this mechanics, and since Apple is still the biggest podcasting or podcatching apps out there, a lot of podcasters have seen a decline in their listenership just because the app looks at your behavior and says, hey, you haven't been listening to the last 5 episodes, okay, I'm going to stop downloading this, and that will save you data, which is, of course, very smart, but not very good for people that have these recurring podcasts every week. And the same thing is if you ever drop the ball, which happens to quite a lot of podcasters. Thankfully, I've been able to be very steady with my podcast output for the past 2 years, but I know podcasters that sometimes just are in a rut, and then they don't post any podcasts for a couple of months. There too, automatically, Apple will stop downloading those episodes, and then they just disappear. Even when I'm streaming live on YouTube, I sometimes get visitors, and they say, hey, wow, are you still podcasting? Oh my gosh, I used to listen to your stuff years ago, and I didn't know you were still doing this. So it's much harder, I think, in podcasting to resurface after a period of like a pause, either on the creator side or on the follower side, and to pick that back up. Whereas with TikTok and YouTube, I've noticed this very often, that if I haven't been posting for a while, I create a new video and I make sure it's optimized and it will find an audience. It might take a little bit longer than if I would be posting every week, but eventually it will still reach the same audience as my previous videos. But that's not the case with podcasting. So we've been moving the site to a new location. I've been explaining that we were moving from a WordPress environment to Kajabi. And this week, this holy week, is going to be the final week. We had our goal was to have everything over and finished in at Christmas, on Easter morning. So Easter Day is going to be the change. So we've been working really hard to copy all the contents and all the podcasts and the feeds, and also to create new pages, because it was not just a simple transfer. It's a totally different system. So we are now at the point that we're ready to move the domain name over, and that will be the final phase or the final step in the transition process. This means that the podcast that you're now listening to is no longer served to you through WordPress in combination with Podbean. We were using Podbean to host the podcast, but it is hosted and served by Kajabi. This gives me so much more information about the actual reach of the podcast. In Podbean, it's always very difficult to get good statistics. And the combination with WordPress also made it very clumsy. There's just not a very good way to monitor how well your podcast is doing. Now that I'm using Kajabi, I can see the actual download numbers very clearly. And this is, of course, still not the whole equation, because the premium podcast that I record for my patrons are served through Patreon. So they are not hosted on Kajabi. Patreon is the same problem that we have with Podbean. The statistics are not very clear. And so what I actually want to do is to bring everything over to Kajabi and simplify the entire process. So I want to move towards, now that we have the website up and running at Easter, the next step is going to be to move to transition from Patreon to our own platform, which is good for everyone. It's much easier to communicate with you as an audience. It's also much easier to produce new content and make sure that it gets you. It's easier for us to monitor how well episodes are doing. And also, not to be underestimated, Kajabi is ours. So Kajabi doesn't take a cut of the sponsor, of the donations. Now, we are very lucky that we were early adopters of Patreon, so we actually have been grandfathered in. So Patreon takes a very small cut compared to other creators, but still, it's a cut. And if we can take that out of the equation, it would still probably still bring in an additional a few hundred euros per month. Actually, I don't have the exact numbers, but and it's going to be quite an operation because many of you that are patrons have been signing up through Patreon, and Patreon does a very good job making sure that every month you get this, your donation is taken care of. There's a lot of automation. But anyway, now that I'm on Kajabi and I'm looking at what the podcasts are doing, I can see what the actual reach is of my public feed. So this is not the Patreon feeds for the premium episodes, but the regular public episodes right now for the break reach around 750 people. Now, I know that this is a very dedicated audience because these are the active subscriptions, right? We know that if people stop listening, then there won't be any downloads because Apple stops downloading. So I know that I have 750 people listening to the break, or at least downloading the break actively every week. And that's, of course, nothing to sneeze at. Is that how you say it? But at the same time, it's just a very small percentage of the audience that I used to have, let's say 10 years ago, when podcasting was a much less competitive environment to operate in. Now, 750 listeners is wonderful, and at the same time, if you compare that to the reach and the interaction and engagement that I have on TikTok and YouTube, it's obvious that it is a very, very small part of my apostolate. And now that I'm coaching other people to focus on their mission, their vocation, and to make sure that their efforts are all pointing in the same direction, because that's what you want, especially if you are still building up your personal brand or your trying to grow your YouTube channel, the more synergy you have between all the different platforms that you're using, the better it is. And since I am giving other people this advice, I'm also applying that to my own current work and my own apostolate. And so I was thinking, well, the podcasts, the break and the walk are for the community. I do this to serve this community and to make sure that they have this kind of free flow, very casual way of keeping in touch with me. But it's really a community thing. But there is something else that I really want to do. This is what I do on the walk. The walk feels different compared to the break, because here on the walk, I talk about things that matter to all of us. This is about, you know, how do I live my life? What are the struggles that I have? How can I solve problems? How do I look at the world? And what I try to do is to share with you my own process and my own growth and the things I learn. And I know from your feedback that people can relate to this, and it helps them sometimes to hear me talk about problems that you might actually experience yourself, or maybe you have experienced it, is a source of comfort. And it sometimes can help you make this better decisions yourself. I'm not saying that I'm always making the right choices and doing the right thing, but at least by bringing up these topics, I hopefully contribute to your own process of evaluation and thinking about your life and where do you want to go and what are your dreams and wishes. And I've noticed that that is actually a concept that is very close to my heart, because this is what I became a priest for. I am a shepherd. I would like to help people on their journey through life and walk with them in the same way that Jesus walked with his disciples and his friends. And I feel that the concept of the walk embodies that. It is me walking, literally walking next to you through life. And you're walking with me through life, because I also really have a lot of... I grow by recording the walk every week. For me, it's this weekly appointment with you where I too create some room to think and to reflect. And otherwise, I'm not sure I would do that. So here's what I was thinking. If I'm the heart of my apostolate, if that is helping people and accompanying people, coaching people, then maybe that is a direction that I could also amplify through my YouTube and TikTok channels. You know that I've always thought, and I always keep thinking about what do I do, and does this still serve people, and how do I contribute something to the world of Star Wars fans or anime fans that is unique and that doesn't duplicate what other people are doing. And so this morning, while I was working in the garden, I was thinking, I still don't have a good name for my channels. For a long time I thought about maybe I'll call it Story Secrets, but Story Secrets still refers very much to information. So let me teach you what the deeper layers are in Star Wars or anime or whatever, in movies. But what I actually want to do is not to teach, but I want to coach. I want to help. I want to make sure that what I share helps people to improve their lives and to make better choices, maybe to find God or to deepen their faith. I'm so glad I'm in the woods right now. There's a bit of shade, and it's very nice to be in nature without having to work in a garden. anyway, so I was thinking, what if, as a concept, for instance, for TikTok, I don't call myself like the anime priest or something like that. What if I offer a type of coaching based on the examples and metaphors that you can find in anime series? Now, this, of course, would be for an audience that is interested in anime, and you may not be part of that audience. Maybe you're like, well, that's okay. To each his own. But what you probably do share with that audience are similar questions. And so I'm thinking, well, what if I do this on every level of my apostolate? So on my main YouTube channel, I've been sharing so many different things, and it's still a little bit all over the place. And last week I told myself, well, if I'm coaching other people to focus and to make sure that on every platform they should be recognizable for the thing that they really want most, then I should do the same. And if my true desire is to coach people and to help them through life in all the questions and struggles that we may encounter, then anime, Star Wars, movies, that's just a language, that's just a tool. But what I really want to do is to talk about these issues that we deal with. And the wonderful thing with both the world of anime and the world of Star Wars is that these are stories about people that have struggles. Every good story features people that have to face difficulties. And one of the reasons that we read, that we love to read, that we love to watch movies and TV shows, is that we can relate to the issues that are brought up there. And we can, in a safe environment, We can look at the problem from a different angle, from a different perspective, the perspective of the people in the movie or in the TV show. And that is very helpful when we go to church on Sunday. It's very similar. Why do we have Holy Week this week? Why do we keep reading this story of the suffering of Jesus and his death and ultimate resurrection? Because this is a timeless story that we all, at one point in our life, will face. We all have to deal with suffering, with fear, with maybe being abandoned by our friends, this dark night in our experience. And at the same time, there's always this hope that we're looking for, and this wish, this desire that life be stronger than death, and that love will always conquer evil. And so the main reason that we have Holy Week every single year is because every year it helps us to reflect on these themes in our own world, in our own life. And every year is different. Like this year, when I say suffering, what do you think of? You think of the news of what you've seen, the horrible massacre in Moscow with this attack, this terrorist attack there in the opera house or whatever it was. And then, of course, of the ongoing suffering in Gaza, and this senseless violence that just seems to have no boundaries whatsoever. But next year it may be something different. Like 2 years ago, it was all about Corona, and I remember that we celebrated Holy Week without anyone in attendance. We were streaming it, and we were thinking about all the suffering that Corona caused, and the many people that died of the virus, and the fear that we all experienced. And so every year we can relate to the same story in a different way. And I'm thinking, that is wouldn't that be the most wonderful way to fill my channels, is by addressing the big questions, the struggles, and also the hopes and dreams that I see in these stories, and relate it to our own lives, and maybe advise people. And it's not just something that I would offer in the hope that someone can relate to this kind of stuff. What I always notice, when whether I go live or in the comments on TikTok, is how many questions people have. And it's most of the time not intellectual questions. It's not, oh, can you please explain this or that? No, it's questions about life. It's the questions of, like, in the anime that I spoke about in the break last week, Frieren, about this elf that survives all the other mortal companions that she has, and then has to deal with loneliness that death and sickness bring about. And the kind of the curse of having to live forever here on this earth, whereas other people go on to different shores, to, you know, the afterlife. Those are very relatable topics. And I'm sure that, I haven't done any videos about this yet, but I'm sure that if I start a series about Frieren for TikTok, I'll get a lot of questions about that as well. And so I was thinking, maybe that should be my mission, is to become an anime coach. So I'm coaching through the metaphors and the language, or using the language and the world of anime. And I can do on YouTube, I can do the same thing with Star Wars, because it's so incredibly rich in life lessons. And it's also, in many ways, very relatable for me, which is also important if you are a coach. The best coaches are the people that have gone through the things that the person that you try to help is facing. So you can reassure them, and you can say, hey, it's going to be all right. I've been here where you are now. This is what helped me. Maybe I can help you to prevent this or that from happening. And this has helped me. Maybe it can help you as well. I love doing that kind of work. And I'm at an age right now, a stage in my life, where I feel that I have amassed the life experience to credibly help other people that are in a different phase of their life. Maybe they still have a lot ahead of them that I've already gotten behind me. The thing that made me really reflect on this and to rethink this was something that Cliff said in my last coaching session I had with him. And maybe I shared this last week as well, I don't remember. So I was talking about the Holy Week, the online retreat that I wanted to do. And I had all these ideas about relating it to the story of the Lord of the Rings. And he said, you know what? This doesn't really appeal to me. Yeah, of course I see that this may be, you know, interesting to fans of the Lord of the Rings or Tolkien fans, but what I actually really would like to hear you talk about is the big questions. How do you deal with suffering in life and loneliness, and how do you overcome the struggles? Of course, it's okay to use metaphors from stories like the Lord of the Rings, but if you ask me what I would be interested in, the reason that I would like to go on a retreat is to take some time off to think about these issues that I have to deal with, but normally don't reserve time for. And he was so right. And it made me actually stop the preparations for this online retreat, because I felt like, wow, this is something I need to think about first. I want to take this into account because I think it's true. I had been putting the method first, but Tolkien, etc., it's just a tool. What it truly is about is, of course, the question, how can I help you? And I realized that I hadn't asked myself that. How could this retreat help people, actually help people? And so I widened this query to my other work, where I was asking myself, so I have a very successful TikTok channel and I do these videos, but how am I really helping that audience? And maybe just by being present there, and that in itself is a positive. And I know this because it's what people tell me. They like my optimism and kind of the love that I have for these stories. People relate to that, and it is apparently something that you can't find everywhere. There is a lot of negativity, as you all know, in surrounding movies and franchises, and I refuse to go along with that because I feel that it's not helpful to always complain and to always criticize. So that's one area where maybe I can be a bit of a relief for people, a safe space where they know that if they see me reacting to a Star Wars trailer, that it's going to be positive. I like it, and I'm not going to immediately share a list of complaints and accusing Disney of destroying Star Wars. No, I'm just not that kind of guy. You can find that all over the place on the internet. So safe space. But what if I can do something that you barely ever see when it comes to Star Wars or anime? And that is, hey, you know, in this situation where Luke is, he has to choose between his training on Dagobah and his friends that are in danger, and he's faced with this impossible conundrum. What should I do? You know, how relatable is that? Haven't we all faced situations like that? And then you go there with the intention, you go to Bespin, to Cloud City, in order to help. And then it turns out the whole thing is a setup by the emperor, who wants to use your goodness and your willingness to help your friends to lure you into a trap by scaring you. And it's only because Luke was so courageous to continue to believe in the goodness of even of his father. There's still good in you. And he was able to resist the temptation of the emperor, that he ultimately is able to save them. And they do get away from Bespin unharmed. And that is, well, unfortunately for Han Solo, it's too late, but they come back for him. Those are topics, I think, that you can relate to moments in your life. And what if I would talk about stuff like that? Or what if I would take a situation and say, so what would be my advice to Luke in this moment? If he would have asked me, like, okay, so what should I do? Should I stay here on Dagobah, or should I go help my friends? Then you can walk your audience through the process of discernment, which is a very important spiritual exercise. Like, how do you know what to do in life? Well, the Christian faith has an incredible wisdom accumulated over the years. There are many things you can say about that from a Catholic perspective. And I can bring that in a very playful way, probably. But the aim is not to just combine Star Wars with faith, but to make sure that both the story of Star Wars and the stories of faith can help you to decide what you can do in similar situations. So anyway, it's like preaching during Holy Week, right? You can just read the story and feel sorry for Jesus. But during Holy Week, yesterday I celebrated Palm Sunday with kids, like a family celebration. And it was very important to me that I make this relatable for children. And that was not obvious. The temptation was to just explain what happens to Jesus. But I wanted to go beyond that and to see if I could make this relatable for the kids. So I talked about Jesus, who wants to be a friend of everyone. And at first, he seems to be so popular when he enters Jerusalem. And then when he gets into trouble, one by one, they start turning against him. They start abandoning him. Even one of the 12 apostles betrays him. Even Peter betrays Jesus. So imagine that. And that, of course, is something that children also have experience with, where friendship is a tricky thing. And it's wonderful if you have friends. What are real friends? Friends are not just there when you are popular or when you have good grades or you're good at sports, but real friends are there for you when you are going through a difficult time, and when you suffer, they don't run away. And I could tell that kids were like, oh wow, wait a minute. This story is about us as well. And we can relate to that. And so that helped them to enter into the core message of Holy Week. So I feel like that could unify all my efforts if I focus more on helping my audiences with the issues in their life, using the tools of that particular audience, that work for that particular audience, be it anime or Star Wars or something else. Anyway, so that was what I wanted to share with you. I'm looking forward to celebrating Easter, and then after Easter, the month of April is the first month that I am going to go on a journey, on an adventure. As I mentioned, I want to make sure that 4 times per year I leave the Shire and I go and have different experiences and meet other people. And I I'm still thinking about what to do. I've a number of options, and in the premium part of the walk, I will discuss them for my patrons, and maybe they can help me to pick a destination. But for all the rest of you, you'll hear where I am next week. When I won't be traveling yet. Hello, but probably I'll be traveling for 2 or 3 weeks in April and maybe beginning of May. So you'll probably hear it when I'm walking, I don't know, in the streets of Dublin or in Spain. Who knows where the journey will take me. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a blessed Holy Week and a very happy, cheerful, life-giving celebration of Easter. Thank you for your support and for your time and for accompanying me on these walks. It means a lot. So happy Easter in advance, and we'll talk soon. God bless.